Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Well, hello there. Good to talk to you again, man. It is Monday around noon, give or take. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. I did. I was at my nephew's birthday party yesterday. But other than that, I watched a lot of football, as you can imagine. And I'm still not totally caught up. And I got, I think, four or five more games on the DVR to examine. And I wasn't able to watch every snap of every game that I put on. But I got a really good feel for it. And it was great to, of course, to see some new things. And some of the rookies really showed up big. I'm going to write an article tonight about that. Just, you know, week one impressions of five, six, seven, eight rookies that were better than expected. And we'll get into a couple of those on here as well. Maybe that'll be something we talk about tomorrow. But for right now, you know, I just want to tell you about some things I saw in a couple of these games. You know, there was a lot to take away. I mean, I know it's only week one of the preseason. Let's not get too crazy. And that's certainly true. You know, I mean, let's not get too crazy. But let's not also pretend that this stuff doesn't matter. And I am very excited about it because, hey, you know, it's the first time we've got to really see all these teams with their new players, with their rookies, you know, against the true competition. It's going to be good stuff, man. I'm psyched. And I urge you, I'm going to talk about four games now in the front four. I just picked four games that I felt I got the best feel for in our front four that we do every podcast. And by the way, I'm Matt Williamson, if in case it's the first one you've listened to. At Williamson NFL, this is the Locked On NFL podcast. I don't think I even mentioned that yet. I just assume that you and I know each other by now. But I probably should introduce it. We are getting a lot more listeners, which is great. Please spread the word. iTunes, I just applied to get it on Stitcher. That should be happening very soon. And David Locke has also assembled a fantastic cast of team sites. You know, of course, I think you probably know about his NBA teams and Locked On NBA podcast, but go the NFL one's really growing too. So check out your favorite team or your least favorite team. You know, Locked On Steelers, Locked On Eagles, whatever you like. And especially these games, if you want to hear a little bit more, I'm sure they even go in more depth with those than the front four that I'm going to talk about now. Let's start with San Francisco versus Houston. This one's interesting because I think a lot of people, and myself included, look at the league over the offseason and thought the Browns are the worst team in the league. They have a terrible roster. San Francisco's right behind them or right ahead of them. And then I'm not sure who the next worst team in the league is. These guys are going to be terrible. They're going to be 2-14. Chip Kelly's a bum. He doesn't know what he's doing. This is last-ditch effort to show he can do something at the NFL level. The Niners were very impressive yesterday. And the more you look at them, the more you study them, the more I have faith that this team won't be terrible and is, you know, able to compete right away. It's still a rebuild. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, they had about 300 yards of total offense in the first half. You know, and I understand that, you know, J.J. Watt wasn't there, but it wasn't like the Texans are a bunch of scrubs on defense. They had 300 yards in the first half. And, yeah, Chip Kelly had a terrible season last year, and you can be very critical of a lot of his general manager moves, you know, particularly ignoring the guard positions, in which he doesn't get enough heat for that one. And I was critical of time, too. But he won a bazillion games at Oregon. He was 10-6 his first two seasons in the NFL with Nick Foles and guys like that at quarterback. I think Chip Kelly can manufacture a lot of offense. That pace is breakneck still, and it probably will only get faster for the Niners. you know, a couple things that I really took away from that, and you maybe didn't see the game. Blaine Gabbert started, and he struggled early on. They said Kaepernick has some sort of shoulder situation. Okay, you know, I think they just want Gabbert to play a lot. I think Kaepernick will get his shot, and what's nice is, I mean, they're gonna be really good with their second string quarterback, whoever wins his job, and I think both quarterbacks could be successful. I don't know either is the answer. We'll see, but that'll be an interesting quarterback competition. A lot, I mean, like I said, very fast-paced. A lot of three-receiver sets. You know, they're playing a lot of 11 personnel, as to be expected. You know, Ellington's going to play a lot of snaps, and he has a dynamic skill set that should do really well. Carlos Hyde looked great early. He fumbles. Simon from Houston, scoop and score, and San Francisco had really nothing to show for, you know, moving the football really well. But the rest of the backs here really showed up, too. I think Hyde's going to have a huge year. I really do. And there's so many snaps to go around. They run the ball over and over and over, and I think he's a very good talent that doesn't get the credit he deserves. Sean Dron came in and looked good, too, and then he took a big shot on his hip. I don't think he played after that. But it gave Mike Davis another shot, too. And this is a guy I really liked in college. He was kind of up and down, but, you know, he lost weight, which makes sense. You know, you know if you're going to run Chip Kelly's offense, you want to be leaner. You want to be quicker. You don't want to, your stamina has to be at a high level because you're going to wear teams down. But Davis looked great. I mean, he looked fast. He was breaking tackles. If he's your third back or, you know, maybe pushes for the second job, I think they're going to have a pretty good stable of running backs. Another guy that showed up, and I'm excited about another young player, and that's sort of the theme here too. These aren't older guys in San Francisco. Is Vance McDonald. He's an athletic tight end. He had a nice long catch and run. He's got a lot of upside. There's lots of buzz coming out of Niner camp about him. You know, the Niners turned the ball over, and if you look at it, they didn't score a ton of points early on because of the turnovers, but they moved the ball over and over and over. And a couple other guys up front, you know, I was watching Josh Garnett quite a bit. I thought he played very, very well. One of those rookies that I mentioned, you know, that came in and impressed in his first time putting on a jersey. Anthony Davis ran with the second team at right tackle. There's some talk, you know, is he in football shape? Is he in Chip Kelly offensive shape yet? There's also talk that maybe he bumps into guard. So that would make some sense, too. I think this line's going to be a lot better than it was a year ago. The defense played well, too. I thought they were impressive on both sides of the ball. You know, their defensive line is pretty good. It's a real shame that nose tackle Ian Williams is going to miss a season. But they're raving about Eric Armstead. There's no questioning his ability. I think his teammate, you know, from Oregon, Buckner's going to be a star. Aaron Lynch, he's suspended. But did you happen to see the play? He jumps off sides, jumps back, is on one knee when the ball is snapped, whips the right tackle for a serious pressure. You know, he's a heck of a talent if he can keep his mind right and, you know, stay on the field and not face suspensions. Ahmad Brooks is still a good player. They have some other young guys in the front. Navarro Bowman's going to lead that squad. I'm pretty impressed. You know, I know, again, it's one game. I can get too crazy here. But it's something to talk about. As for Houston, Osweiler didn't play much. I actually just turned in an article about the Texans, and I'll be tweeting that out later. More about how they're building around Osweiler and what they need to do to win. We've heard great things about Fuller. A lot less takes, though, from Houston, in my opinion, than from San Francisco. I was pretty drawn to the Niners in this game. Tom Savage, though, somebody I watched a lot at Pitt, he looked good. I thought he played a good game. I think he's got a chance to be a very solid number two for them. And I'm not a big Osweiler fan, so maybe Savage even... let's not get too crazy. I don't want to say he's going to push the starting job. That's not going to happen. I'm not sold on Osweiler. But he didn't play much. Lamar Miller didn't play much. Miller had a couple nice runs. He looks explosive as ever. And, you know, we'll see about Houston. But overall, I was enamored with the Niners. I'm going to get to the second game here in a minute. But the one show I didn't mention that I meant to is the Locked On Fantasy podcast. I think that's something you guys should check out with Vinny Iyer. He does a really good job. Look into that. And I know a lot of my following out there on Twitter, I'm sure a lot of you listening, are into fantasy. Check that one out. I think it's going to be a very, very good show. Second game to talk about. San Diego, Tennessee. Would have loved to have seen Bosa. Don't get me started on that. It's making me crazy. This one's going to be more Tennessee-oriented than Chargers-oriented, sort of like the last one we talked about. But Melvin Gordon, healthy, explosive. Let's keep an eye on that. You know, I mean, I was not a fan at Wisconsin. I didn't want anything to do with them last year. But let's keep an eye on that. And really, though, I mean, it was pouring early in the game. But really, what to talk about here is the Titans' run game. You know, Marco Murray had a long run or two. He didn't play real long. You know, he had a 71-yard touchdown through a giant gaping hole. Late in the game, this is sort of surprising, Bishop Sankey did some really good things. And it makes me think, maybe he's trade bait. You know, McCluster's going to be your third down guy. Murray and Henry are going to make the team. The Titans played a lot of their guys quite a while. You know, when Matt Castle came in for Mariota, you know, they had the top O-line, which they got a lot of moving parts there. And the rookie Conklin struggled a little bit. I was watching him quite a bit. I think he'll be all right, but he didn't have a great showing. But they did play their top guys for quite a while. And San Diego's run defense last year was terrible and was really bad in this game too. But the star, going back to rookie shining, is Derrick Henry. You know, man, I didn't say a lot good about him as a prospect. I thought he was a little better version of Brandon Jacobs. He looked better than that to me. You know, start, stop, acceleration, more lateral agility than I thought. Obviously, he's a load. Obviously, he's a big guy and fast in the open field. There's not a back like him. My ears are perked up, you know, and I am not a Murray believer. I do think that 2014 season in Dallas where he went crazy, his career year behind a great offensive line, is going to be the best we've ever seen from him. Yeah, and it was a great year. That's not to take away from the guy, but I think that he's not washed up, but I think he's partially used up. And, man, Henry is someone to keep an eye on. I mean, this guy is not like anyone else in the league. Again, I wasn't a super big believer. He ran through a lot of big holes at Bama. I recognize he's a very good player, but I was worried about the agility. You know, can he make people miss? And he showed a lot more of that than I expected in this game. So this Titans offense, I mean, you can laugh at the exotic smash mouth, and it is kind of funny. But I think Mariota's a total star. They've rebuilt the offensive line. You know, you got Delanie Walker and Rashard Matthews and Green Beckham and Kendall Wright and Andre Johnson. It's not a guy I would have, you know, signed, but so what? He's on the team. I think this offense has a chance to be pretty good. And I think Mariota, again, is going to be a star. If Henry's as good as he can be or continues down this road, Titans offense might be set for the long term. You know, and then you go into this offseason still in rebuild mode with a ton of picks after trading out of the top spot. You have all those draft picks going forward. You might be able to just load the defense up with studs. So, Dick LeBeau's defense, let's keep an eye on the Titans. You know, I'm talking about some of the bad teams here. Titans, Niners, you know. All right, let's get to the next game. Our next game on the front four, I guess I didn't do this on purpose, but I guess it also makes sense, you know, that the bad teams might play their guys a little longer, add some confidence to the building, win some games, move the football a little bit, you know, where the good teams know who they are. And I think that was the case in this one I'm about to talk about too. You know, the third portion of our front four, Cleveland, Green Bay. Again, not a lot to take away from the Packers. Joe Callahan was their starting quarterback of this one. You know, you guys have heard me. I like Brett Hundley a lot. I'd love to see him all through the preseason. I might not even play Aaron Rodgers a snap if I was them. That's fine. Jeff Janis fractured his hand in this one. It doesn't sound like he's going to be out for the year or anything, but that's a step back. I think people out there are higher on Janis than I am. I recognize that he is a big, fast guy, but he never seems to be in the right place, and that's not going to cut it with Aaron Rodgers. By no means do I think he's a potential, you know, Jordy Nelson replacement. So I don't know that the loss of Janis is a big one. I still have a lot of faith in Devontae Adams. Maybe I'm the only one. A couple notes, though, from Green Bay revolve around their offensive line. Another rookie, you know, Jason Spriggs. He played a lot. He played a lot of snaps in this game. He was up and down. I thought he was better as a run blocker than a protection, but he's obviously a good athlete, a work in progress. They have a very deep offensive line right now, and they should be because they get a couple starters coming for free agency, and as in typical Packer fashion, are preparing for that day. J.C. Treader, you probably don't even know who that is, but he's basically their sixth offensive lineman. He can start all over the place. Every team in the league would kill for J.C. Treader. This kid is a good young football player, and he can't even get on the field for the Packers, but he played in this one. Just a name for you guys to mention, you know, for to know. The big news out of is with the Browns, though. RG3, you know, RG3 is the starter now. Josh Gordon's getting himself into shape and overcoming injury. But Terrell Pryor, I think I've told you this, but Terrell Pryor was like the best high school player I've ever seen in terms of what kind of prospect this guy might be. Just a big athlete that could do everything. I mean, he was coming out of high school. I thought he might be like a 3-4 outside linebacker, you know, just explosive Von Miller type of pass rusher or a move tight end. I mean, I thought he made a mistake, and that's bearing fruit that he probably did make a mistake of playing quarterback. I mean, imagine if he'd be playing wide receiver this whole time or, you know, move tight end or something along those lines. But he's very impressive already. He goes up and gets the ball. He adapts easier than others. That's all I'm going to say because he is an elite athlete. He was the best basketball player in the city of Pittsburgh while he was in high school. So he's somebody to keep an eye out. I think he's got the team made. He might be their best weapon when it's all said and done. I mean, Coleman's going to be very good too. Don't get me wrong. But RG3 hit Pryor on a long pass. So that was fun to see. You know, maybe that'll happen 10 times this season. That's a possibility, you know. Again, I have a little more faith in Cleveland than I thought I would. He threw an interception. RG3 threw an interception that I watched a couple times. And Hyde, the defensive back from Green Bay, made a great play. And it was a hard thing to tell on the TV angles. But I thought Barnage didn't get his head around early enough. That RG3 anticipated him coming out of his break. Let it go, and Barnage was late to react to the football. And that's a hard thing to judge. You know, did RG3 let it go a little early or, you know, especially on the angle I was watching. So I don't think it was a, quote, bad interception by RG3. It was, you know, it was a dangerous throw, but it's also, I like that. You know, he didn't curl up in a ball and just dump it off all day like you see a lot in the preseason. He's making throws. He's driving the ball down the field. And I think people forget, you know, RG3 is a very good thrower of the football. I mean, he's got a big arm. That's why he was a second pick. He's not an athlete playing quarterback. I say that over and over. Those are the big things I took out of this game. Two more rookies I wanted to mention, too, on the defensive side of the ball for the Browns. And I think I've told you about, you know, what the Browns are doing. The Browns are accumulating passing game assets, wide receivers. They drafted 4 or 5 of them. You know, RG3, Pryor, in addition to that, Gordon. And pass rushers, you know, Nassib and Ogbo were two of their very high picks, too. And these are bigger guys that played well. Both of them played a lot of snaps. Both of them played very well. Nassib made a fantastic hustle play. Ogbo was putting on pressures. Nassib made a, you know, they both made 3 or 4 eye-opening plays as a rookie. Not strangely enough, but they weren't standing up on the edge like a true 3-4 outside linebacker. They were playing closer to the ball. And both have size, especially Nassib. And Nassib, I think, can continue to add weight. I don't know if it's Nassib or Nassib, by the way. I'm not positive on that one. His brother's a quarterback for the Giants, if you're a little more familiar with him. Backup went to Syracuse. Nassib was a walk-on at Penn State and has grown into his body. I think he led the NCAA in sacks last year. But maybe he gets up to 280 and is more of a 5 technique type. But I think these are two players you can move all over the line of scrimmage. And they showed well in their first appearance. I think that's big. So, you know, some rookies showing up here. Some positive things on some bad teams we're talking about. So a man, David Locke, has taught me a few things about podcasting. You know, just different approaches to talking to you. Things that work. Things that get people's attention. And as much podcasting as I've done, I was basically the host of the Football Today podcast 5 days a week for 10 years, as well as being a guest all over the place. I have no training in it. I just sit down and talk football like, you know, you and I sitting here driving in your car or on your treadmill or standing around a keg having a beer talking football. And I hope that's one thing people like about me. But David mentioned some things, and he's, you know, he said, boy, I love that front four segment you do. You know, people can count on four good quality takes from you every day. You know, in this case, we're going to do four games, and we might do four games again tomorrow, especially if I can get another game or two under my belt tonight that is really noteworthy. The one thing I screwed up, and one of the things he kind of taught me, was lead with the big dog. You know, guns a-blazing, come out firing. So I apologize. I probably should have started with this game, and that is the first game ever, well, since I've been back, of the LA Rams in home against the Cowboys. That sounds noteworthy in itself. You know, hey, they're going to Jared Goff's first game in a Rams uniform. Cowboys are in town. You know, Hard Knocks, all this good stuff. But the story is Dak Prescott. I mean, I talked about rookies all day. Dak Prescott was awesome in this game. You know, I had a lot of questions about him coming out of school. He was fantastic. And yes, it's only one game, and I'm sure all the Cowboys fans are looking at it going, okay, we don't need a backup quarterback now. We don't need Josh McCown. Dak's the guy. Well, after one game, that's a fact. I mean, he was great in this game. I'm not ready to jump on and say that, you know, Dallas doesn't need any more help. But boy, I mean, this game, first of all, this was an auspicious, or I'm not sure if I'm using that word right, beginning to the Rams kickoff to start their new life in L.A. Dallas takes it to the house. you know, like, I know it's a preseason and who cares, but it's like, are you serious? And, you know, we'll talk Rams a little bit and come back to Dak. Goff immediately throws an interception, you know, when he takes over. Keenum starts the game. Goff comes in, immediately throws an interception. He gets hit in the shoulder. Didn't play at all in the second half. You know, they end the first half in what should be like a hurry-up, two-minute situation with Goff leading the offense. And I'm not bashing Goff. I think Goff's going to be a very good player. And they're like in slow motion. They don't do anything. You know, it's like, what is going on here? It's just the bad start, bad taste in your mouth for first time you see the Rams in their new home. Goff is expected to play with the first team a lot more this week. That came out today. That makes sense. You know, he needs to be the starter, but you don't rush him in there. Just because he's first pick overall, you don't rush him in there. We know this is going to be a Gurley-led offense. In this game, we saw a lot of big personnel by the Rams offense, you know, extra offensive linemen, fullbacks, you know, true fullbacks, downhill, banger fullbacks. And as usual, you know, in this game too, we saw a lot of Rams receivers, you know, Kenny Britt, Quick, Austin, Pharoh Cooper, the rookie, and they still don't have a guy. And I don't think they'll have a guy this year. You know, Austin's a niche player. He'll probably touch the ball a lot, but he's not a feature member of your offense. The offense, the passing game can't go through him. The one guy that stood out to me, though, that would have been a much higher draft pick, another rookie, if he would have been clean, quote, off the field, Tyler Higbee. You know, and rookie tight ends do nothing generally in this league. This guy is a very good athlete. Think Jason Kelce. You know, I mean, he's that type of player. Can get down the field, really good body control, some explosive movements. Not huge, but he's also not light. You know, he's not going to be a problem. You know, he'll be able to do some blocking, especially as he grows. They lined him up in the backfield at times. Tyler Higbee is going to be a good player, and I could see him and Goff feeding off one another for the next 8 years. You know what I mean? I mean, I think these guys could grow together in this offense very well. But the Cowboys were the story. And get to Prescott in a minute. Dez is back. Dez played, a couple series at the beginning, was a dominant player, caught a great touchdown pass, looked big, strong, nasty, as he usually does. That was great to see. You know, they absolutely need him. You know, everyone says, boy, when Romo was out, the offense was terrible. But Dez is almost as important, you know, because the rest of the receivers there are not very good. And that, to some degree, includes Witten. You know, he's not a feature player anymore. Dez has to stay healthy. You know, that's the second most important thing that has to happen to the Cowboys, other than Romo staying healthy. But Dak Prescott, I mean, he is the story, I think, of week one, period. And we know he's a tough kid. He's a leader. You know, he had a somewhat tough upbringing and had some unfortunate things going on in his family life that he's overcome and still stayed very focused. But boy, was he good on the field. I mean, yes, he's a very good athlete, and he's a physical runner. He's not just an elusive guy. But that's not what he did. You know, it was in the pocket, very crisp, timing throws, command of the offense, stood up to pressure, ball fakes, looked off coverages, you know, running the offense very, very comfortably, accurate passers, hitting guys in stride, putting the ball exactly where it needs to be with touch, super efficient. I mean, he had a back shoulder fade to Dez that, you know, this guy hasn't been in camp long. Back shoulder fades take a long time. So I can't wait to see more of him. I hope it's not a fluke. If it's not, then he's going to be Romo's successor, let alone his number two this year. I mean, this kid played a great game, and he's easy to root for. So that's some good news out of Cowboys camp. Some big news coming out of Dallas camp. And I want one other thing to mention about their defense, too, just a note here I have down, is they're not very good on defense. You know, I think we know that. That's just a talent thing that they're going to struggle to get the quarterbacks. They have suspensions. They just don't have a lot of good players right now. But Rod Marinelli's a great coordinator, and the key there is his guys hustle, and everyone in the NFL hustles. Yeah, I mean, but they consistently, maybe more than any defense in the league, and I don't have the stats to back this up or anything, but they get a lot of bodies to the ball carrier. Yeah, they are very, very good about that, and I think that's the Marinelli military background that's anything else will not be tolerated. And we saw a lot of stunts and blitzes and things like that to try to get after the quarterback. They're probably going to have to do that quite a bit to try to manufacture some pass rush, but yeah, that's going to be the problem. It's not that many great players. But they also extended the best center in football's contract, Frederick. You know, Frederick, to me, is the best center in football. 6 years, 56.4 with $18.2 million guaranteed. Well worth every penny. Remember, everyone got on the Cowboys' case. How do you use a first-round pick? I think it was a 32nd pick, by the way, that year. On a center. Well, he's the best center in the league, and he's going to be for maybe 10 years. I mean, he's the next Nick Mangold. You know, he's on a perennial Pro Bowl pace, and they are being very proactive. Tyron Smith, you know, locked up until like 2030 or something insane. You know, they're locking these guys up to super long-term deals, keep this great continuity on the best offensive line in the league. So that's very encouraging. I really like what the Joneses are doing with that, because great offensive line play is very hard to come by. We've mentioned that on the show here. And it makes a lot of problems go away. You know, if your quarterback is so-so, or you've Dak Prescott back there learning, or Darren McFadden's your running back, and you're still churning out major yardage, offensive lines make the world go round. And it's a big, big deal, and they are prepared for that for the long term. Great to see. About to wrap up here, but one thing that just came across the wire, I only got a second, but Rankins, the first-round pick of the Saints, broke his fibula. That's terrible news, because they really needed him. They're short on pass rushers. I thought he was a great fit there. Hate to see this. Their defense was historically bad last year. So, you know, I guess he's the first one to fall. You know, we saw it a couple times last year with guys like Kevin White and Breshad Perriman. More rookie talk. A lot of rookie talk from us today, but unfortunately this is a bad one. That's a shame. It really is going to hurt the Saints for the near term, and you feel bad for a first-round pick that's just eager to get in there. So that's going to do it for Locked On NFL here on Monday. Great show, guys, and we will do it again tomorrow. We will certainly recap some games. The Bills had some news, too, I wanted to get to, but we will do that tomorrow as well.